The following program is produced and distributed by KETR.org. You can help by visiting KETR.org and clicking donate.
Hi, Josh Mank, Associate Athletic Director for Marketing Communications here on this episode of Lions Roar. We've got a postseason edition here in the KETR studios on the Lions Sports Network. Closest to the camera, our women's basketball coach, Jason Burton. In the middle, our men's basketball coach, Jarrett Von Rosenberg. And then on the far end from you is our conference champion track coach, George Pincock. First off, I know you guys had some track questions for George when you guys got here. Congratulations on your conference championship.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I heard they had run and turn right this meet. Was that a little bit different for you?
No. Same thing we do every weekend.
So I believe, let's see, I've got it written down here, 9 conference champions, a bunch of silvers. Give us your overall impressions of the meet. Both start with the women's team setting a school record in points and finishing third.
If you want to sign language it to me, I can speak for you. I know your voice isn't there.
You ready? I sound like Celine Dion. Sign language right here.
They did a great job.
it was a really fun weekend. The women's team on paper, we were slated to finish second. Behind a really, really, really good West Texas A&M team. But, you know, our girls came in and competed. Angelo came in, had a great meet, and they did lots of good things. So a third place there behind two teams of that nature, we're perfectly fine with. Our girls were really excited about it.
Talk a little bit about Cameron McKee. She set 3 school records in 2 hours, 5 over 2 days, and then closing the meet with that 4x4 relay. Girls won it for the second year in a row, which I think you were saying you weren't 100% expecting.
Yeah, Cam was ready to run. I knew that. She came in. She had a really, really solid prelim race on Saturday afternoon in both the 400 and 200. Said she felt good, and then came back and really just kind of took the bull by the horns in the open 400 and the open 200 and put down even faster times. I spoke with her right before the relay started, and she said, "I can't do this. I'm too tired." She hadn't even taken her shoes off after her other race, so I tossed her some fruit snacks and I said, "Eat and you'll feel better."
Always true.
I'm gonna start carrying fruit snacks on me.
She kind of looked at me like, okay. But then, you know, she came out with the other girls on the 4x4, and I knew we had a good 4x4, and I expected them to give West Texas A&M a run, but I wasn't expecting it to be a 3:45 race. And put them inside the top 10 of the nation. You know, I knew they were a good team, but I thought we'd run probably 3:48, 3:49 with those girls and then some tired legs, but they went after it.
And then talk about Mina. Mina, this was the most impressive part. Our athletic director, Tim, texted me. She runs the open 400. They stop the pole vault competition so she can run it. She goes back and wins the pole vault and then goes from that and takes a baton to start the 4x4 relay.
Yeah, and she cleared her last bar. A teammate brought her sprint spikes. She put her sprint spikes on, ran across the track, realized that she had to go to the bathroom, ran to the restroom real quick, ran from the restroom to the starting blocks, and just did what Nina does.
Wow, that's fantastic. I mean, that's pretty impressive. We'll come back to you for the men's team here in a second. We'll go over to women's basketball, finishing third in the
Sounds like me and my youth.
Yeah, I believe that. Yeah, that's 100% true. I believe that. A little bit of a rough week to close out the season, but still the 3 seed going to the conference tournament. Good senior day. Artasia Gay moving up to third in the conference, or third in school history in scoring. Talk a little bit about the week and what we can look forward to going into the conference tournament this weekend.
Yeah, our plan was to come in and kind of set people up, make them think that we're not playing good basketball, and go into the conference tournament, you know, and just catch people by surprise. No, but I really did think West Texas game, we were flat and weren't very aggressive to start the game. And third quarter, we kind of showed back up, and that's the team that we are. And then Permian Basin, we played a pretty good game until the last minute 40, up 8, and you lose that lead and lose by 3. Just didn't execute well down the stretch. But here's the thing. You have a chance to learn from that and hopefully don't make that mistake going to conference tournament. I plan on being up, you know, versus Cameron, and we've got to make sure that we finish games the right way. But to have a player like Artasia Gay and to finish her career at home and move into third place all time in school history and scoring is special. You know, it tells you that we've had a special player here, and she's really been a reason why we've been able to change the culture here. Her and Princess Davis, 2 4-year players that have just been great for this place and have really grown as players. It brings you some comfort going to the conference tournament knowing you have a player like Artasia Gay on your team, and you got Princess Davis, and then Brianna Wise, and we're in a good position to really make a run. And the three seed is where we want to be.
How about that noon game on Thursday, starting off earlier in the day than normal? You like that? You don't like it? You like getting the game out of the way early? Because, for instance, when the guys make the semifinals, they've got to wait until 8:30 on Saturday night to play if everything runs on schedule. That's a big difference between having the first game of the entire tournament.
I think once you get down there and you get in the atmosphere, you're going to be excited to play the game. And the kids aren't going to really care whether you play at 12 o'clock or you play at 8:30. It's the playoffs. And once you get to the playoffs, everything goes out the window and you're ready to play. And so I think that day is going to go fast. You're going to wake up and you're like, man, we got a game in 2 hours. So I think they'll be energized and they'll be ready to go.
Moving over to the men's side, a couple of big, big, big wins, taking down WT by one and then just steamrolling UT Permian Basin. They didn't hit any shots to start the game, and we were hitting almost everything. Can you think of a better way to close out the last week of your first regular season?
No, obviously it had huge regional implications, and, you know, they're big games for us, playing two really good teams. And, you know, what we talked about coming off a 9-game stretch and a 5-game road trip is we talked about it being postseason from that point on, because we were really playing for our postseason opportunities. And, you know, no better place to do that than at home. And, you know, I know we finished the season 10-1 at home, but I thought these were by far the best two games we've played at home. We always haven't guarded that well, or to the standard that we kind of hold as a program, until these last two games. You know, we've shot the ball extremely well in the Fieldhouse all year, and that's why we've been 10-1. But we did both on Saturday, and you saw that the outcome of really getting stops and being able to fill it up from the field.
And speaking of that defense, West Texas, I think it was, they scored 120 against Angelo last weekend, and we held them to 66 at our place. That's a pretty good swing there, 60-point swing from game to game.
Yeah,
I know the style's different and everything, that's still 60 points.
Yeah, but, you know, Angelo scored 90 on them, so they scored more than we did. it's just the style they tried to play. They tried to speed them up and thought they had more athletes and stuff, and, you know, that. At the end of the day, you know, I was telling Cinco actually last night when I talked to him, we're about to play each other again, as head coach at Angelo. At the end of the day, it's a loss. You know, we lost by four up there. He lost. It doesn't matter. It's a loss. And you're not going to look back and, you know, at the end of the season be like, man, I wish we had lost by two instead of 30. No, you have a loss on your record. But, you know, we're just worried about us playing good basketball right now. That's what we're trying to do, execute on both ends of the floor. You know, the seniors, especially – you know, guys that were here, Daquan and Dorian, that allowed me to come in and coach them and to buy into a new system and a new program, even at the same school. And then obviously Aaron Horn and Joe Powell, who, you know, said, hey, I'm going to go play for this first year head coach and see what we can do. I just appreciate those guys for everything they did.
I think Sam Walker and Charlie, they were talking to me after the game. They've invented a new statistical thing for what Daquan did on senior day, the quadruple half-double.
I heard that.
He had, we're looking here, 6 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, and 5 steals with only 2 turnovers. And he's, what, about 5'0" compared to a lot of basketball players. He had a blocked shot in there, too.
Yeah.
So quadruple half-double for Daquan there on senior day. Talk about the tournament. Another matchup with Angelo, two very different games, home and road, playing a team the third time. What do you look forward to on Friday afternoon, Friday evening?
Well, first of all, I'm looking forward. I kind of like the, you know, when we play back-to-back games, obviously we want to support Jason and his group, but we're also trying to get ready for our matchup. Well, this is, it's kind of nice, you know, we'll be able to go to the game, actually watch and cheer on the women's team when they play. Before we practice later that afternoon, and then, you know, we'll get to Friday, and, you know, we're trying to get healthy, clean up some things. Angelo's a very good team, is very capable of beating us, and we got to show up and play 40 minutes, and, you know, I thought we did that pretty well, and we got to just continue that trend, because like we've been talking about for the last, I guess, 13-14 days now, it's win or go home. Now, I know maybe we have a chance to get in the NCAA tournament, but at the end of the day, if we lose, we're going home. We're coming back to Commerce. So, our guys will be ready to compete, and we'll hope we can make enough shots and get enough stops to have a chance to win.
Well, we'll find out about that NCAA. That comes out Sunday night. The women's selection show's at 9 o'clock on Sunday. The men's selection show's at 9:30 if anybody's watching live. We're trying to get it at Luigi's so that we can have a little more fun than just being in the classroom when we get to watch it on Sunday night. So I don't even know if you knew that yet, but we're working on it. So be awesome if we can do that. I like food. I'm a big fan of that. Talking about finding out about Nationals track, swinging it back around. See, this is flow. This is radio here. Find out this later this afternoon who actually 100% qualifies for Nationals. The guys' championship, the sprint group especially, is what I want to start off with. Five guys in the finals, all getting points in the 400. Four guys in the finals, all getting points in the 200. Hey, that's pretty dang dominant, if I say so.
Yeah, you know, we're very lucky. We're really, really deep in the sprints. And that group of guys just kind of got together and they did what they came to do and just take over, really. That's what they wanted to do. That's what they kind of talked about coming in, is that we want to score as many people as we can.
And then the school records that just fell, Jude broke the 200 twice. Would have broken the 400 record. We've got the only two guys who've ever gone under 47 in conference history in the 400, and they both did it at the same time. Is that 400 just turning into one of the best races to watch that you've, since you've been a coach, every time?
I think we have some really, really talented athletes there that are very competitive. I know Jude told me all week too that his goal was to beat Rashard, that Rashard had no shot. So, you know, there's kind of a friendly banter between them, but they're very competitive at the end of the day, and I think that works in their favor. Just go out and run.
And we got to talk about our man Florian Obst putting up points in five different events. And only because some of the ones he does in outdoors, they don't do in the indoors. He probably could have pointed in six or seven. That heptathlon, I mean, he's just a special athlete, is he not?
You know, if he wasn't German, I'd probably call him the Greek god. he gets it done. Like, you know, he wanted to do all that. He was a pretty important part of what we did this week. You know, the seven events and the multi, came back, scored in the open hurdles, the open shot put, the open long jump, and the open pole vault. So, you know, I think I'm missing one in there, right?
Shot put, pole vault, hurdles, long jump. Yeah. It's one of those ones.
Discus inside?
No, there's no discus inside. But he would probably, he's pretty good at the disc.
Yeah.
Pretty good at the javelin. Hammer throw outside. About the only thing he doesn't do outside is high jump.
Yeah.
Or no. No, triple jump.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive. When ET Invite rolls around in April, people are going to get to see a show, because something tells me he's just going to do everything for about a couple of days.
Yeah, you know, and he likes it. We talked early in the week about the championship, and he had the opportunity to do a lot of those things, and it meant that his multi probably wasn't going to be as good. You know, we ran the 60 meter dash. He came over and he took one long jump. Was done. We went to shot put. He took one throw and warm up, saved some energy, came back, started his pole vault warm up at that time, went back over to the shot put, took his actual throw, said that was good enough, jogged back over to pole vault and was third, started long jump at that same time. So he sacrificed a lot, not just in doing things, but his own performance, and he still had a great performance. So, you know, we rest them up and take him into the national championship feeling healthy, I think he's going to do something really special.
He's already got, I believe it's the 11th best heptathlon score in Division II history. And I was calculating it on Saturday morning, or Sunday morning. I knew he was going to have to hold back a little bit just for everything else. But, I mean, I would expect to see him jump into that top 10.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next weekend.
Shot put on Sunday in the open shot put. Excuse me. Saturday in the shot, but you know, he threw a meter further than he'd ever thrown. So
while he's holding back,
yeah. So, if he can do that next week and go another meter further, who knows?
That's really impressive. You guys got any track questions? Because you guys, every time we bring something up, you guys just start shaking your head. Like it's pretty amazing what these guys are doing.
I'm looking at the women right now. I'm looking at Cameron McKee, and I'm thinking she can probably help us in our press this week. They're not. There's no track events this weekend.
No, yeah, they're off until Nationals.
We'll get the LSC to figure this out, where we can not have a basketball final on the same day as championships. We can lend them one of our players too, right, to help out.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because I mean, Jordan totally would have gotten points in the long jump and the high jump. It's really impressive. We got Dorian, the football player, who set a school record in the 60 hurdles. He's run 5 hurdles races in his college career at 2 meets, and he's set the school record in every single one of them. And stuff like that. Devontae Steele, national champion, looking back in the triple jump, he set the longest mark in the nation on 4 straight jumps yesterday, or Sunday.
Yeah, it was good to see him kind of get back. You know, he won the national title in 2016, and he still jumped well last year. He would say average.
His average was still All-American, yeah. But...
But what he did on Sunday in that triple jump, you know, the whole entire series, I think his shortest jump was like a 15:40, and then he had, I think, 2 over 16, and then another 2 right at 16 or 15:80, if I can remember.
Convert that to feet for these guys.
Yeah, I was going to say.
52 feet. So.
I was going to say, I think I can triple jump.
16 feet. I was going to say, I don't think they let us calculate it like that. But
that's the best I've ever seen. Steel jump, and I think it was a big confidence booster for him going into the next week, going back to Pittsburgh where he won his national championship. I know that's on his mind to win another one.
What school were you guys be at for that at Pitt?
Pittsburgh State, yeah.
Pittsburgh State, and so that's one of those secret, or I'll openly cheer for it with the way regionals work out for the men's team, especially if Fort Smith gets to host. That's only 3 hours from Pitt State, and it's the same weekend, and I very selfishly want to see everything I can in the same day. You know,
should we be thinking fan bus?
A track fan bus would be a new development in college athletics, probably.
It might be empty, though.
Nah. I'll be on it, that's for sure. So we also don't want to forget about softball. We're moving into the national rankings for the first time last week. First time ever at number 25 in the Sweet Missouri Southern. Big hand for them. The only reason Richie's not in here is because we're out of microphones. And we went with the guys in the postseason. They picked up 3 wins. They're up to 13-1. They go back to Cameron this weekend. A little bit of a grudge match. You weren't here for this. Cameron girl last year essentially said that we were one of the worst teams in the conference going into the conference tournament, and they beat us 4 times last year. So there's a little bit of a mini rivalry going there.
Bulletin board material.
Yeah, definitely bulletin board material. Golf hosts their turn. The women's team hosts their tournament up at Tanglewood next Monday and Tuesday. I'm not sure what we're doing with the show because I'll be at Tanglewood unless you guys want to come up to the golf course. I know nobody's ever opposed to going to a golf course, really. We could probably make that happen, you know, from the 19th hole.
Can we talk about this milestone?
Oh, yeah,
since World War...
Yeah. This is the research department.
Yes. There's been 10 men's basketball coaches, but only 3 that have had 20-win seasons. In the first season, that's Jared Von Rosenberg. He's one of them.
Yeah, and it's the first one since the 50s. And Shelby Metcalf was on those teams. That's a coach that took us to the national title.
It's pretty impressive right there.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those. I did that research this morning. Hey, we had, of those 10 coaches since World War II, 5 of them were in 5 years. And then I think, there, or something like that. And then, I mean, you think about it. Sam was a head coach for 17 years.
He was here for 9
before him. Jerry Matthews was here for a while. Coach Gudger was here for a while.
26 years.
Yeah. I mean, that's a quarter of your program's history right there in 2 coaches. So, and those are some dang good coaches in there. Jerry Matthews, Coach Gudger, Peak, Sam. I mean, there's some guys that didn't win that many games in their first year. So definitely kudos to you. And I don't know. I mean, now this is the part that the research department, that's me, doesn't have. I don't know how many returning players those guys had. And I think that might be the most impressive thing of this whole season is that you essentially did this with 2 returning players.
Well, you know, we'll sit back after the season's over and I guess celebrate some stuff. And I'm just happy for the guys. Like I said, you know, all those guys took a chance because, you know, not many first-year coaches, I guess, win 20 games. But everyone that decided to sign on came here because we said we wanted to do that. So I'm just happy for them and all the work they put into it to even have something like that happen.
I mean, you've been coaching the college game for a while. They don't track it in Division II, unfortunately. They do in Division I, like the best record through 1 season, the best record through 2 seasons, all the way up to, you know, your Coach K and Dean Smith and guys who coach forever. I mean, I just haven't seen it, a first-year coach with 20 wins. Have you seen it on your side, just off the top of your head?
On our side, it's happened when a coach is replaced, mm-hmm. a historically good program. you see West Texas coaches kind of come in and and they've had some success, but a lot of that is carryover from the previous staff, and it's not, it hadn't been like Rose's situation where you bring in a slew of new players and you're able to do it that first year. A lot of them have been an assistant coach already there in place, and then taking over a team that's already had kind of players in place. They know them, and players that have been there, have been a part of that culture already.
So on the track side, what would be your equivalent to a 20-win season in your head?
Like him winning 3 straight LSU championships.
Yeah, I mean, he's 3 for 3 right now on the guy's side.
I think that's a little tough to think. 20-win season.
They're 20-7, so that that puts the winning percentage at 741.
He's like, that's only like getting 9 gold medals and not having the bronze and the silver, but
yeah, I mean, y'all weren't here. That we were trying to figure out a softball relay when him and Richie were in here a couple weeks ago. Like, could our base Steelers? How would they do in the 60? You know, that's pretty impressive. You know, there's some, definitely some crossover, but not a ton. So, let's see what else. We got the spring game, 10 o'clock on Saturday morning here, the blue and gold game for football. I'm trying to think of what else I've left out. Yeah. National champions.
What I heard today is, Sarah Carpel, our esteemed volleyball coach and, the wonderful lady that Colby luckily is married to, her due date is on the same day spring game.
Yes.
Now, I'm not sure how that happens, but.
Yeah, if it was me, I just know it's one of those, a due date's going to happen, and you're going to get that phone call, like, right as the spring game is about to kick off. Like, it's time.
Yeah. Excited for them, though. We're moving across the street, so excited.
Moving in this week, right?
Yeah, excited for, you know, them having another little one and figuring out if it's a boy or girl, and. So
yeah, that might be the most impressive thing of this whole thing, is that they still don't know. I don't have that kind of willpower to not find out, I don't think.
Yeah, neither do I. So,
let's see. Softball is at Cameron on Friday and Saturday. And then, of course, the LSC tournament. We've still got tickets available for all session passes. If you want to come by the box office if you're watching, or just give us a call, 468-8756. I've got it memorized because I'm getting good at this selling tickets thing. pretty good. And then we'll finish it off. The crowds this year in the fieldhouse, I felt like they were pretty good all year, even with a really, really, really strange schedule home-wise. I feel like, 10-1 for the guys, and you guys, I think, lost 3?
We'll say 3. That works.
3. I don't have it in front of me, but, I mean, it felt like the crowd was behind us in every game, and I think they definitely made a difference this year.
Oh, no question. And even, I thought it was impressive. It was flooding in Commerce on Saturday. Yeah. We still have the crowd that we had, have the support. That means a lot to us for them to come out on senior day, and it's a rainy day, it's cold, and most people just want to stay inside on those kind of days and not come out, and still had a really good crowd at the Fieldhouse on Saturday. So we did have good crowds all year, and we really appreciate that.
Yeah, and 2 things I'll say is our crowds during Christmas were – better than I've ever seen here.
Ever.
Which shows the community really coming out with the students not being on campus. And then, you know, you got to give a lot of credit where it's due to yourself, our athletic staff, and then, you know, our campus partners. Our campus partners are supporting what we're doing across the board, and it definitely continued and showed during basketball season.
Yeah, I think one of the things that was most telling to me was when I went on that Angelo and Kingsville trip with you guys. And, I mean, Angelo, it's pretty much a basketball school. It's a track school and a basketball school, and they've got a pretty good tradition of winning. They've got that awesome arena. It's Thursday night, which in our conference, you usually get a better crowd on Thursday night than you do on Saturday afternoon. And they drew less for a really big first place at the time, tied doubleheader, and a big rivalry there. And they drew less than we did at Christmas. And it was second week of February.
And I'll say this too. One of the best things we have going for us is our band. Our band is great. You go to other schools and you hear their band, but no band gets into the game like our band does. And they do a great job. And that's why I'm excited to have them in the conference tournament, because it's such a huge asset for us.
Oh, yeah. They were texting Stuart Shulman the whole time. He's like, tell me as soon as we find out when we're playing. Like, like when we were at WT, and he was like, man, that was tough. Like, they're texting me like as soon as the game's over. You were going to say something?
No, I was just going to reiterate what Jason said. The band is big time. I think that helps them there tons. It just adds to the atmosphere.
Well, it seems like everyone, the band included, they want to be there. It's not the band members aren't forced to go because they want to be there and they're excited about being there, and that's a big difference. It's not, you know, we don't need golf claps in the field house. That's for Tanglewood next week. We need get, and our fans are so engaged. They know what's going on. They know offense, defense. They know mm-hmm. to cheer, not to cheer, and that's a big difference. You know, 2,000 to 3,000 people in that place, and it's a definite home field advantage.
The other thing I'll say, and you guys miss out on it because a lot you're in the locker room, but the music department's gotten really involved doing the national anthem this year, and we had Malik, who was on The Voice, do it on Thursday
night.
Heard
that one.
Oh, man.
That was incredible.
He crushed it, and then we had the couple of the grand chorus and the chamber singers on Sunday, and, you know, that's, to be honest, I mean, it's
Sunday, what are we?
Or Saturday. I've been at a lot of games the last few days. but you think about it, athletics is the front porch of the university is what you hear a lot of times. We get the biggest crowds out of everybody. The music department, they still get good crowds at their concerts and stuff, but having the opportunity to give them that stage to showcase what they can do, I'm really happy we were able to have them come in and do that as well.
I think we need to get Coach Pancock on The Voice right now.
Right now. I mean, there's a few songs that you...
Fergie got singing that. Yeah.
And I think that might be the ender right there. That is the perfect way to wrap it up.
Just a track coach.
No, man. Track coach, comedian, and world-class singer, apparently. So thanks, Coach Burton, Coach Rose, and Coach Pincock for joining us. Remember, check out everything on lionathletics.com. Thanks a lot for joining us on Lion's Roar. I'm Josh Mank. We'll see you later.
This show and others like it from KETR.org are made possible by generous contributions from listeners just like you. Donate today at KETR.org.